Hi, everyone, and welcome to New Consciousness, New World. Esperanza Ray here, and I wanted to welcome you to the show if you're new, and if you're not new, well, welcome back, and please share with all your friends our show, and if you want to call in, you can go to BBS Radio on Station 1, click on that, and it will take you to several other numbers to call in if you have questions, concerns, or if you just want to participate in the show and share your experience. We're talking about 2012 for the next few months. We're going to be talking and addressing different aspects. Currently, we're addressing the topics outlined in my book, Hope Brains Beyond 2012. While we will continue to talk about 2012, once we're done with the book, we'll just basically address different topics that are relevant and related to 2012 and beyond. Because, again, the book is Hope Reigns Beyond 2012. It is published by Balboa Press. It's a subdivision of Hay House. And, again, my name is Esperanza Ray, and you're welcome to purchase the book online on Amazon. So if you haven't already done so, and if you have purchased the book, please help. You're welcome to follow along. Currently, we're in section two of the book where basically we're discussing different things like some of the messages and that this is not a punishment from God, first of all. And we're discussing important messages of understanding of how the spirit world, or at the spirit level, how things are seen, and also from our perspective, what are the things that are going to be happening in the next few years. Okay, so last week we were talking about, specifically we were discussing a message from Metatron, and that the fact that this book, or the visions that were provided to me for this book, are visions that are intended to provide a message of hope. Even though the book does discuss some of the chaos, some of the turmoil that is going to take place, because of this chaos and because of this turmoil, it wants to provide a message of hope so that we know that after the chaos and after the turmoil, there will be something magnificent, and that will be the manifestation of heaven and earth. It will also mean the ascension of humanity to a higher level of consciousness, where we will be basically evolved to the fifth dimension of consciousness. Currently, we're in the fourth dimensional consciousness of space and time, and in our next evolution, we are passing to the fifth dimension, where we will basically be able to manifest with thoughts. And there will really be no need any longer for machines or inventions, because our mind will automatically manifest anything that we need. So there will be no pollution. There will be no, I'm giving too much away. That's for later on. So I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's focus then on the message that that Metatron was telling us last week. He says, this will be shown in fast forward. This is talking about the visions and how he shows them to me. So that you are warned of what is coming, so that during these times you do not despair and do not lose hope. It is most important that you do not believe God has abandoned you. This is not so. And the other point of this is also that this is not a punishment from God, but that we are simply going through an evolutionary process. And that's true for any planet in the universe, in any galaxy or system. And that is true with the other universes as well, because there is more than one. These moments simply are intended for your birthing into a new life of awareness, understanding, and oneness. The third part of the message is intended to give insight into what is currently taking place in your here and now, the events that started this process, and when you cross the point of no return. Also, you will see what is taking place today that confirms and leads to a tragedy of the near future. The last section of this message will provide hope as well as ways you can survive the tragedy that is to come. These methods will help humanity reach the outcome that has been foreseen and is yours for the taking. So basically, Metatron is trying to provide us with some insight as to what we can expect, what we are to maybe foresee in the near future, so that we are not caught off guard. Most important, that we're not caught unprepared. Because when we are not prepared, and by that it means that a mental as well as a physical and spiritual, especially, level, when we're unprepared, then we're unable to address the circumstances. We go into shock mode, or we go into an attitude of fear. And to prevent that, by developing our awareness, and the reason and the purpose of this program is intended to accomplish just that, then we are much better able to respond without a chaotic or reactive response. We are more able to respond and to act from a balanced state and a conscious state. Okay, so Metatron continues and says, the events that started this process and that you crossed the point of no return. Also, you will see that what is taking place today that confirms and leads to the tragedy of the near future. The last section of this message will provide hope as well as ways you can survive the tragedy that is to come. These methods will help humanity reach the outcome that has been foreseen and is yours for the taking. And the outcome foreseen is basically what is discussed in the Bible and Revelations and a lot of other cultures. So basically we're just getting a different perspective and a more detailed perspective of what is to come, because up until now we've been told about the destruction, we've been told about what we should expect from that perspective. We have not told, aside from the fact that we would be manifesting heaven on earth, we have not been told very much. So these books are intended to provide this message. And like I said, I'm one of many other people who are also intended to help in this process. You are loved, he says. Remember who you are. Your thoughts, words, and actions performed from love will help you to survive the destruction. Your ability to stand together and get along with others, your compassion, your belief, your trust, and most of all, your love will help you to survive. Through love, you will create communities. In groups, you will be able to produce what you need and care for each other. Different groups will have different purposes. In the moments of devastation, people will seek your group out and join you to survive. These people will reach out to you looking for hope. It is in union that you will find the strength to withstand what is coming. Now here, by you, he's referring to the people who are seeking to enlighten themselves, who are developing their awareness, who are developing their spirituality, who are seeking a higher connection to God, and who are trying to find balance and healing and protection and growth. All right? These people will reach out to you looking for hope. It is in union that you will find the strength to withstand what is coming. Act in love at all times, and love will become who you are. Now, this is a very interesting sentence right here. Act in love, and love will become who you are. I like this sentence specifically because we are creatures of habit. And as children, we learn patterns. that we express ourselves with. And through these patterns, we associate everything in our world and everything about other people, their own experiences as they share them to us. When we listen to other people's experiences, we associate that with our own personal experiences so we can relate. And as creatures of habit, we have developed habits that are not necessarily always within balance, within synchronicity with higher intelligence, with the vibration of God or the vibration of higher consciousness, or simply the vibration of well-being and health. And when we get out of this balanced state, that's when we get all kinds of problems, whether it be illnesses that manifest at a physical level after a while, or we just create chaotic situations, stress in our lives based on our belief system. When we act with love instead of fear, which is the state we're in when we're really stressed out, then when we act with love, fear is no longer there, because where love exists, fear cannot reside. Where hate exists, love cannot reside. So you see, if we can hold the vibration of love within ourselves, then our actions, our words, our thoughts will maintain that love and express it through everything that we do. And not only that, but we will attract to us more loving relationships, more loving situations, even more loving and caring positions in our life. So when we practice love, it becomes a pattern in our life. And that pattern is who we become and who we are. So I really like that. Again, act in love at all times, and love will become who you are. It's so right on. So I love that sentence. He continues, preparation, guidance will be provided in the last part of this message. Systems of checks and balances set in place by the source are brilliant. Let me read that again. The system of checks and balances set in place by the source are brilliant. Not only does it eliminate negativity, but even more impressive are the rewards it brings back to those who practice acting from love. So basically, again, this goes back to the philosophy and the law of physics that what goes out comes back. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So if we send out love, then that's what we, again, draw to ourselves. So this is basically a system of checks and balances that has been put in place. And this is, I guess, the way God created the world. And whatever we dish out, we get back. And that is totally appropriate, I think. It couldn't be more brilliant than that. While it is true that negative actions return to you threefold, so do good actions. Who of you do not need good in your life? Are there any of you who have too much good? I can definitely use some more, that's for sure. I don't know about you, but I can definitely use some good. What goes around comes around is a true state. The feeling of satisfaction and fulfillment from performing acts of kindness is ever so sweet. Nothing else compares. The universe is full of abundance. The only thing separating you from it is what you believe. You are not given a wish without being given the resources to accomplish that. This is another sentence that's very powerful to me. The fact that there's just something very simple separating us. And I have to say I have wrestled with this one in my life very, very much, because I've tried to be in situations where you do bring out the abundance, where you bring out the love, where you bring out the goodness. And it doesn't always seem that way. And you kind of ask yourself, what is it that I'm doing that's preventing me from manifesting what is good in my life? What the heck am I doing wrong? What do I need to change? And if we persist enough in that question, and if we meditate on it, guess what? The answer is going to come to you. You're going to get a response. So let's look at the second part, or the second sentence. You are not given a wish without being given the resources to accomplish it. So that means that any dream, any desire that is for your good and for the good of humanity, because we always have to take into account higher good, not just our own personal good. If we do that, if we can take into account within our desire, within our wish, within our dream, what is best for us, the universe will provide it for us. The universe will put the resources at our hands. However, this is one of the things I have found in my own personal experience, that there are challenges. Challenges will be presented to see how strongly you are willing to work for that desire, for that dream, for that abundance, for those wishes. You will be tested and to see how serious you are. The universe wants to know, are you just asking for something, or are you really willing to do what it takes within reason and within love and within kindness to do what it takes? Always coming from a place of goodness and love for yourself and for others. And if that goodness can be applied to others as well, then it is more easily provided by the universe. For example, let's say you are asking for healing. And for whatever reason, you're healing yourself. Let's say you're a healer, which I am. So I know I've been through this experience. One of the ways I find it very useful to produce healings is to find someone who's going through a similar situation as myself, and or who has the same energy imbalance, okay? And by correcting or bringing their imbalance into balance, and I work with higher consciousness, so I always work with higher self of that person that I'm working on, so I get permission to do that, because that's also very important. You don't want to intrude or interfere with someone's free will. And most of all, this involves their belief system, so you don't want to interfere with their belief system. So you work with higher self, and you work on this person, and as you're healing this person, you're also healing yourself. Just send them love and energy, the energy vibration of God, which is the white light, encompasses all the other lights because it contains the colors of the rainbow. It contains all the other colors. So when you use that and you focus it with the intent to help that person to heal, then that's what you manifest. And at the same time, you also benefit. Another example would be abundance of money to accomplish a dream, buy a house, for example. And imagine that you use that condition and say, well, also I'm going to do abundance for someone else. I'm going to help by giving some money to a charity. So you always want to take, we always want to take into account not just what is beneficial for us, but beneficial for others as well. We want to take the world into consideration, because the world and you, the world and me, is one. And being one, by helping others, you're helping yourself. I have found often that by trying to help others, I step away from my own problem and more easily and more objective and better able to address the issue and resolve it. So that's something to take into account and consider. Now, Metatron goes on. The only thing separating you from this, from full abundance, which was what God intended for us, is what you believe. You are not given a wish without being given the resources to accomplish it. This is true. As long as what you wish for is for the greater good. The universe does not create anything that violates the greatest law of all, love. You, as embodiment of free will, can violate this law. So I know that people can actually do things to other people, bad things to other people. I've known people who have wished things on others that were not very nice. And guess what? They manifested on the other person. They also got it back. What goes around comes around, and it comes back around threefold. So, you know, God's plan is so brilliant that I'm just in awe of how incredibly magnificent his creation. And God, I'm saying his because we're used to seeing him as an image of a father, but in reality, as you know, God has no form. He is pure energy, pure love. You as an embodiment of free will can violate this law. Remember, that which you send out comes back to you. Why would you want anything negative coming back to you? All things return to the source. Anything coming from love results in great love for all involved. Everything around you is a reflection of you. So when I have things around me that are not very loving, that's when I start to ask myself a lot of questions. Now he says, as you shed the negativity which resides within your mental state, your awareness will change. You will see and notice things that were not apparent before. They were there, but your mind was preoccupied with the chaos, keeping your mind focused on fear. With discipline and control of thought, you will find that you are free to manifest what is possible and wholesome in your life. The hole left from shedding fear will be filled with positive energy and love. This is much more fulfilling and rewarding. You receive great benefits as love flows through your being, such as improved health, prosperity, success, usefulness, and pure satisfaction. More important, while there always be changes as you continue to grow in light, you will find the way you react is out of love. It goes back to what we were saying earlier. We become what we hold in ourselves. So he says, you will experience the world in a new way. You will need less verbal communication. You will be able to perceive others through thoughts due to the awakening of the dormant and neglected parts of your brain. You will experience a multidimensional being. The barriers of space-time will unfold and gradually dissolve. This is what we are referring to when we talk about quantum awareness. This is the moment of humanity's quantum awakening and ascension into the fifth dimension. At this point, you will know heaven on earth. Hunger will be a thing of the past. Your bodies will no longer metabolize food. You will receive greater nourishment through the energy that flows all around you. This state is known in your time as breatharianism, or living on light. Here is an incredible, again, part of the process, because we are going to be changing our physical state, not just our mind, but through our mind. We raise our vibration, and by holding a higher vibration, then our bodies also become more light. And there will be, we will learn to live off of the energy that surrounds us. The life energy, the life force that surrounds us. And there will be no need for food, no need for killing other animals and even plants, because, you know, we have a movement of people who want to become vegetarian. But you know what? Vegetables have are alive too. So where do we stop? I mean, where do we draw the line of what we can and cannot eat? And if we don't have to eat, if we become breatharians, if we are part of the breatharianism or living on light, then we have no problems or need for eating. And that brings with it some other incredible benefits. And those incredible benefits, guess what? Those incredible benefits of living on light is no aging. no degeneration, completely healthy, pure, clean body. It's a powerful thought, and I'm trying to imagine in my own mind what that would be like, what a world like that would be like, and it's very hard. It's very hard because we are limited to what we know and what we understand, and most importantly, we are limited to what we have learned as pattern, and we can only imagine or visualize what we know. We can imagine more because the imagination is a way of connecting with the other side. So through the imagination, we connect to higher consciousness, and through higher consciousness, we get higher knowledge and higher understanding. Okay. Together, Metatron and I continue to look at the earth below us. He directed my attention to the area of the Mediterranean, not the entrance that leads to the Atlantic Ocean, but the area around the Middle East and in the Arabian Peninsula, Turkey and Iraq, to name a few countries. So basically here, I want to remind you, for those of you who are not tuning in last week, this is one of the images where I was taken by Metatron. Metatron is the voice of God. He is an ultimate being. And some say that he's actually God. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with talking directly to God because we have that ability. We all do. We may not be able to realize that. We may not be able to accept it, but we all have that ability. We're not separate from the source. We are connected and in oneness with the source. And when we can grab a hold of this concept, then we will become more and more enlightened. Metatron basically, through meditation, takes me into space, basically. And he is showing me the Earth, and behind me is the Sun and other planets. And in front of us, below us, we are seeing different parts of the world. In this specific area, he asks me to direct my attention to the Mediterranean area. So I just wanted to kind of bring you up to speed on where we are. The Mediterranean, not the entrance that leads to the Atlantic Ocean, but the area around the Middle East, the Arabian Peninsula, Turkey, and Iraq, to name a few countries. He said, these countries are a strategic area between Europe, Africa, and Asia. Whoever controls these countries controls the three continents that surround them. They are rich in petroleum and are strategically prime locations. The war will start around the Middle East. For a short time, it will be contained in that area. Three explosions sounded below us, followed by three large puffs of smoke. It was shattering sound. They were not mushroom clouds. My understanding is that these explosions were not nuclear. As a matter of fact, the clouds were kind of whitish smoke. He continued, these three puffs of smoke represent the three countries where the war will be fought first. The excuse is the desire for justice and freedom. In truth, it is in the interest of financial, economical, and strategic control. If there is no benefit, there is no control. This is a selfish interest covered by a helping hand. Unbury your heads from the sand. Be honest with yourself. This is not judgment or criticism. It is simply a call to awareness of what is taking place around you. This is nothing new. These actions have taken place throughout history, since the beginning of humanity. And this will continue until you shed the need for this type of behavior. The most powerful have taken advantage of the weak throughout time. Now, as we continue to look down at the earth, we continue to hear more explosions. And he said, we see and hear more explosions which progress in waves along the north of Africa, going from the Middle East into Egypt, through the Mediterranean, all the way to to Morocco. More explosions shake the earth in the same manner along the southern part of Europe. Both sides of the Mediterranean have puffs of white smoke now stretching from the Middle East through Greece, Italy, and finally into Spain. There is great devastation and chaos. Focusing my attention on an area allows me to zoom in. As I do, I can see the redness from the fires in the city. Buildings are turned to rubble. People are running through the streets, screaming with terror in their eyes. Mothers are holding their babies, looking for help. Orphaned children are wandering the alleys, picking up scraps of anything that can be of use. They are also focused on their own survival, that they aren't aware of each other. Now, remember that I'm being shown this in fast forward. And basically what this is telling us is the fast forwardness of how the war is basically spread to different parts of the world. And it will spread to the world. It will be a world war, definitely. Right now, we are already experiencing the war in several countries. And for a while, like I just said a little bit ago, it will be contained in those areas. But after a while, it will spread to other parts of the world. And again, because of the strategic location of the Middle East, it is able to spread into different parts of the world in a fan format. Okay, let's continue and see what else Metatron has to say. People are running through the streets screaming with terror in their eyes. Orphan children are wandering the alleys picking up scraps of anything that can be of use. They're all so focused on their own survival that they are unaware of each other. Soldiers are responding to terrorist threats. The area is in total chaos. To produce stability, martial law is established, and as a result, civil rights are relinquished. Fire trucks with hoses and police guards move through about trying to help. No one is allowed to travel or leave their designated areas without authorization. Again, when you have martial law, you can no longer basically travel anywhere without authorization or some kind of permit. You know, and that's going to become more so. And let's see what else they have to say about this, because this will be really infringing on our rights and our ability to even try to move out of areas that are full of terrorism and war. We will not be able to escape certain areas because of the tightness and lack of authorization to move from one place to another. And I understand that this is going to serve as a means of control what comes in, but it also prevents people from leaving, and that is very devastating. Again, the loss of freedom, the loss of free will. Those who disobey the curfews, rules, or regulations will be taken into custody and reprimanded accordingly. Even small transgressions can at times be met with severe punishment at the hands of unscrupulous guardians, or so-called guardians, anyway. False accusations can lead to devastating punishment for innocent victims amidst the war. Terrorism and natural disasters, the ruling institutions find themselves overwhelmed and unable to control the situation. Okay. Now, some of you might be saying, well, you know what, this is not going to happen for a long time. But I have news for you. It's actually happening sooner than you think. And it's already started. The steps that lead to this process have already been set in place, and they have been planned for a very long time. As a matter of fact, I'm going to share a little information with you. There's a movie called The Thrive, T-H-R-I-V-E, Thrive, to Thrive. It's called the thrivemovement.com is a website. And there's a movie on there which is an incredible, powerful movie that explains how all of this chaos is orchestrated. how all of this is being, you could say, you have the puppeteers and you have the puppets. And we are, we think we're selecting the puppet, but the puppets are actually selecting us. And the puppeteers control the puppets and thus control us. So I strongly recommend you watch that movie. It's a powerful movie. And not only it talks, it's divided, the movie is divided into three sections, which are the code, and it basically talks about crop circle and the existence of extraterrestrials. So once and for all, the question of do extraterrestrials exist or not is addressed, and by very high officials in the government, including one of the astronauts in Apollo 14, is on, in the video, and discusses what is the real situation. And I'm not going to give away the movie, so because I think it's so powerful that you really, really need to see it. I took notes on it. I'm a little anal in that way. And it was 8 pages. The second part of the movie is about the power struggles, okay, and what is being done and why there is this power. It's not about the money, because the people in charge of all of this are already the most powerful and wealthy of the families on Earth. So that's not really what it's about. It's about the power. But between you and me, it's about the control of free will. It's about taking people's free will, which is the most powerful energy that exists on the planet, and controlling it and being able to use it as a resource to manipulate, manifest, and control. Because the difference between forcing and manipulating control is that you don't have that energy within. While, on the other hand, if you are a being of light, if you are a aware being, the power is within you. That is when you are in complete understanding and complete awareness of your divinity. And by that, I'm not saying you're God. I'm saying that we are made in the image of God. God is divine. And as a reflection of God, we are divine. By recognizing our power, we amplify our power. And the whole purpose is to take charge of the power of each individual and control it for a higher purpose that these people want to accomplish. And that is, you figure it out by watching the movie, The Thrive. You can actually also search for it on Google by typing the word Thrive. Again, Thrive, okay? The third part of the movie is the best part of all, and that provides solutions. It provides opportunities for people to actually start to take action. The interesting part about the movie is it outlines all the steps required that are needed to create this kind of world, a one world order or a new world order. And some people push this theory aside as, you know, ridiculous. And because it's so ridiculous, it can be so very true. So look at the movie for yourself. Make your own conclusions or reach your own conclusions. And then think if there's something that you want to do. There is a movement. And there are, the movement is the Thrive Movement. Within the Thrive Movement, there is a variety of movements that are intended to help with different things, such as regulating some of the organizations that are controlling us in our banks that are not regulated. Again, there is a series of steps which they outline in the movie that show what would be take, what would be needed for total world dominance. And interestingly enough, there's only one step missing from the puzzle. And once that step is in place, it will be too late. So we have the opportunity today, right now, to move on this and to do something about it for ourselves, for our families, for our friends, for our world, for our planet, for our beliefs, for everything you care about. We have an opportunity. It's an opportunity of nonviolence. It's an opportunity of helping humanity avoid a lot of the situations that are going to occur. Okay? And my book, the scenarios I describe in my book, is a result of the struggles to prevent the takeover and the world dominance. Okay? And we are intended to succeed. Contrary to some popular belief up there, we are intended to succeed, and we can succeed. If we come from love, we know we can succeed, and nothing can control us, nothing but your free will. And your free will cannot be taken away from you unless you choose to give it up out of fear, out of heat, out of anger, out of ignorance. I don't want to be that kind of person. And I know that most of you probably are feeling the same. So I want to continue to provide this message and share this message with the world.
There's
so that
no,
if you
there's
also
no show
want,
after you. You can go as long as you want. No show after you.
So if you all want to participate in this movement, again, it's a nonviolent movement. So you please join the Thrive Movement. The website is thrivemovement.com. You can actually organize showings of the video in your area, create groups of support to change the world. There are groups that are working on the homeless. There are groups who are working on creating new legislation to organize and somehow regulate organizations that have no type of regulation. So we need to do something about it. We need to change our world. We need to change our lives, or we will not be able to be ourselves, to be our, do our, to manifest our free will, to manifest our true purpose, our higher calling. This is our true calling. And we often get distracted with everything that's around us, with the world around us. And guess what? The world around us will disappear if we do not watch and if we do not take care of it. One of the other things that is wonderful about this, the Thrive Movement, is the fact that it has several presentations on energy, on generating free energy. And one of the things they explain is how we cannot expect the powers that be, the existing companies that are in charge of the energy, to look for a free resource. It is not to their advantage. It's not to their convenience. It's not to their purpose. So why would they? They might try to find substitutes that would partially alleviate the energy crisis, the economic crisis that we're currently experiencing. However, it would not eliminate the problem. And with this system of free energy, and believe, I'm going to give you a little hint too. The energy, the free energy mechanisms to generate that kind of energy are somehow related to the crop circles. The crop circles are not landing pads or just random patterns. You know, they're actually, once they are brought into three-dimensional existence through the help of technology today, you will actually see how they represent something greater of benefit to all humanity. And by using these methods of free energy, the world could be changed in just one generation, and hunger can be eliminated, and the homeless would have a place to live. The hungry would have food. So if you believe that this can be true in the world, or even if you don't, just out of curiosity, go and check the movie out, because it's all very much related We may not see all the picture, all the pieces, and understand the picture based on the pieces that we know, but it's all very related, and they provide you with a very clear picture of what is going to lead us to this and what it's going to take to bring us out. All right. Metatron continues and says, some of the lucky ones are able to flee illegally into neighboring countries that will take them in, where they can find a place of safety. They have the hope of a better tomorrow. However, this safety will not last. The devastation and chaos continues to grow and expand externally, assisting. External assistance will endure only for a little while longer. As more countries gradually find themselves in similar circumstances, they become unable to fund aid to everyone. They must pick and choose to select those who have the best chances of survival. Now, you know, this might seem interesting to us and say, oh, you know, well, that's not really the case. You know, we are trying to help each other. And if you really think about it and look around in the Gulf of Mexico, a lot of the area was devastated, and it still hasn't been rebuilt. So that's just one area within the U.S. That's within our country. And look at other places in the world. You know, like different countries in Europe, their economy is so bad that the European government is trying to lend helping hands where it can. But the devastation is becoming so widespread, and the chaos and the crisis, the economical crisis, the financial crisis, it's all becoming so widely spread that the few countries that have the resources would become also overwhelmed in trying to help. And unfortunately, not helping can also make the situation much worse. So we're kind of between a rock and a hard place if we think about it. So they're unable to find, at one point, it will be very obvious that we're unable to fund aid to everyone. And because of that, we will be required, or the countries with funds will be required to help the ones that are not the most stressed, or the ones that would provide some sort of military or political support so that the economy can recover, so that the world can become a better place again. All right. Now, there are people out there, okay? We all know that there are very intelligent people in the government. The politicians may seem like they're not very bright because they're not solving the economic crisis. The question I challenge you with is, do they want to solve the economic crisis? Because when you think of all the intelligence combined in all the different countries, and then combining that intelligence into a one group worldwide, they can solve the problem. The question is, do they want to? And if they don't want to, why not? And if they don't, what are the consequences? Pretty much what I'm reading to you right now, what I'm sharing with you. Metatron continues, adding to the tragedy is the looting, stealing, and beating of those who present any type of weakness or possess something of value. Gangs roam the streets and control certain areas away from the reach of police and military control areas that are more isolated and distant from the center of the existing government. So basically here, they're basically saying that unless we live in areas where there is some level of government control, and that can change in any place. I mean, I live in the Washington metropolitan area. That does not mean that the Washington metropolitan area is going to be stable necessarily, because it could be one of the hardest hit areas. But the areas that are able to preserve their government to some degree and their military to some degree and the armed forces to some degree, those areas will provide some level of stability. In the outer skirts of those areas, in the hard-to-reach places where the government-controlled areas cannot reach their arms, then these areas will be ruled by gangs. And these gangs are based in fear and selfishness and in survival. From a negative perspective, trying to take over and take advantage of the people around them. In some suburbs where the arm of the government does not reach, crime, drugs, prostitution, and slavery are a way of life. I mean, think about it. Who is to stop someone from coming in to your community? If you are living, let's say, about 30, 40, 50, or even 100 miles from a large populated area where there is some resemblance of government, who is to stop a group of people from taking your home, from taking your food, from taking whatever resources you have to survive? Who's to stop them? That's a very interesting question to ask. Really? Nobody. Unless you stand together and you support each other. And again, here, it goes on to show the importance of how helping each other, sticking together, you stand. By running and looking out for yourself only is only going to make you weaker. And that's one of the messages that the angels have always emphasized. It is your ability to stand together which will determine your survival. So it's our ability to get along, to work together, to stand, and to fight for what is right, or to protect ourselves and not allow someone else to control us. Because if we do, then we lose our freedom. We lose our free will. We lose our God-given right to be and to do what we are intended to do as human beings, as beings of light, multidimensional beings, as divine beings made in the image of the ultimate source. Okay. Properties are ransacked, looted, and even appropriated by force. When property owners are not willing to leave voluntarily, they are slaughtered or placed into forceful servitude in a variety of forms. Those who can run, leap for the city or over the border for safety. There is nothing I know that can prepare you for a horrendous sight such as this. And that is absolutely true. Now, again, I want to emphasize, it is part of this book to provide the message and to tell you and to share with you what is going to happen. But ultimately, the main purpose here, the main message is that we will survive, that this is temporary. This is part of a rebirthing process. And for those of you who know what it's like to give birth, to know what it's like to go through that experience, you know it's painful. But you also know that the outcome is magnificent. And that's what I want you to keep in mind at all times while we are talking about the disasters, the chaos. Because shortly after the disasters, we'll focus on the positive, on the outcome. And that's really what really matters. Not all the devastation is man-made. Natural disasters also play a big role in the tragic turn of events from your present to this. Earthquakes, melting of ice caps, rising of the water line, tidal waves, torrential rain, hurricanes, tornadoes, volcanic eruptions, storms, and meteorite showers have a big impact in creating chaos on the planet. So, guys, it's not just going to be about people fighting. It's not going to be about martial law. It's also going to be about nature having its day. And we've asked for it, and we're going to get it. Okay? It's just Mother Nature trying to heal itself. So what can we expect when we've done so much damage to our planet? What is to be expected when we've done so much damage to ourselves? We have to suffer the consequences, but in suffering the consequences, we heal ourselves and we heal our world. That is the important thing. Okay, most of these disasters are not new, but most will be recorded, record-holding. The frequency will increase to the point that the already precarious global economy is at a loss to address the challenges. Many of these devastated areas will be forgotten by the more prominent ones, either because they feel overwhelmed or they get caught up in their everyday life, or both. Places that never experience earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, tornadoes, or hurricanes will feel the wrath of nature. Even land areas in the middle of continents will know great floods. The ocean will overflow, and the face of the earth will change forever. New continents will be charted when land rises from the ocean. Parts of existing continents will sink into the depths of the water. Terra will have a new face from what you currently know today. Currently, there are 7 continents on Terra. Once the destruction settles down, there will be 13. Now, if you want to actually take a look at the face of the future of our planet, I do have maps on my website, Research CIA, under products. And these can actually be purchased as in poster format. There's about 3 sizes and 2 sets of colors and 2 sets of maps. One is the world and one is the United States. So one set of is the color used on the cover of the book, which is indigo and red. And I thought it was very relevant because of the volcanic eruption and all of that, and the earthquakes, of course. So that's if you would like a copy of them from the perspective of the book and the indigo. And in a way, it represents the darkness of the moment. However, there's also regular color, which is the green and the blues, whichever can be ordered in posters. However, you're also welcome to go to the website and just look at the images. If you wish to just look at them and become familiar with what the world is going to be like, which areas are going to be, you know, going underwater, which areas are going to be rising, you're welcome to do that as well. And all 4 maps are there, so you can take a clear look. Also understand that by mentioning these areas of chaos and seeing the areas covered underwater, I'm not telling anyone, I'm not suggesting that you run and move out of these areas. You must feel called. You must feel a need to move out of these areas. Not out of fear, because each one is supposed to perform a role. I'm currently living in the Washington metropolitan area, which will be covered by water to some level. I'm not rushing right now to get out of here, because if it's my time to go, then it's my time to go, and I respect that. However, if for whatever circumstances I'm moved out of this area, let's say a job offer, or let's say a growth opportunity, or simply an opportunity of having a new location or a group of people or being part of something, then I would move. Otherwise, we all need to just calm down and trust, because these predictions are provided, and it's going to be a little while before everything happens. So even though we're being told a lot of things about the chaos and what's going to happen, it doesn't mean it's going to happen immediately. There's a time frame. Like I said, time is being held until all things that are required are in place. And only God, only the source, knows the time. Not even the angels, not even the beings of light know the time or place. They simply do not know. And as in the prophets that talk in the Bible, they don't know the time either. A lot of them thought it was going to happen in their time, in their lifetime. But my understanding, based on the current events, based on the state of the world, it is our time. And this is the time for us to evolve. We have no choice but to evolve to the next level. We have no other option. It's going against nature, and you cannot hold nature back. Better said, nature will not be held back. Nature will move forward, okay? So just want to share that with you. I want to ask you to invite friends and family to join the radio show. And if you would like to participate and be more actively involved in what is discussed, providing your opinion, your suggestions, you're welcome to do so by calling the numbers that VBS provides for the show. We are in Station 1, and we are here every Tuesday at 3, New Consciousness, New World. God bless, and may your week be the best of your life. Thank you.